But let's read. I do have quite a few things to share with you guys. I am so excited about today, and I knew who I will be talking to. So I believe God, there's confirmation that what I'm going to share this morning, God gave me to share with us. Ready? You don't have to read with me. If you want to read, you can. This is something that's familiar, but I do have some things here highlighted in red. You're not going to see, if you're watching online, you're not going to see this highlighted in your Bible in red. Matthew 28, verse 4. If you want to turn to Matthew 28, verse 4. The guards were so afraid. If you want to read with me, you can back out, but I need some company right now. I'm lonely. Amen. Ready, set, go. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, though. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.'" Everybody say, "See him." "See him." "There you will see him." Before that, we saw the word "see" for the first time here. But here it says, "There you will see him. Now I have told you," verse 8, "so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy." Afraid yet filled with joy. They have joy and they are fearful. How are you going to have joy and be afraid? They are afraid. Why are they afraid? Why are they excited? Afraid yet filled with joy. Everybody say, "Filled with joy."
Filled with joy.
Everybody say, "Filled with joy." Filled with joy. Anybody ever got some good news? God has done something good for you. Like you received the good news. You received the good experience. And you couldn't wait to tell somebody. But you knew probably on the other end, the person that you're going to tell, likely, even though you feel compelled to tell them, may not celebrate what God has done for you. I mean, some call them haters. But to me, that is the enemy trying to distract you from what God has done for you. Afraid yet filled with joy. Afraid yet filled with joy. And also, everybody is not excited about what you're excited about. Us as Christians, the world is not excited about what we're excited about today. Amen. We see persecution going on in the world all over today. I mean, we see persecution happening all over the world. So I hope y'all caring in here. All right, because y'all come here if you want to. We're going to preach, and before you try to take us out for our faith, we're going to take you out for our faith. Are we streaming? Everybody's not excited about what we're excited about. I mean, just on Palm Sunday, last Sunday service, Palm Sunday, they were killed. Afraid yet filled with joy. Afraid yet filled with joy. I mean, on your job, filled with joy, yet cautious about the joy that you have. In school, you have faith, but yet cautious about you displaying your faith in school. Afraid, yet filled with joy. And then what did they do? That song says, "You ought to run and tell that." That's where that song came from. So I hope they gave Matthew 28 the credit. "You ought to run and tell that." Came from Matthew 28. Y'all know that song? Don't make me start singing it. Filled with joy and yet afraid, and ran to tell who? His disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings." So this is after the crucifixion. This is after the resurrection. So imagine seeing Jesus on the cross and now Jesus saying, "What's up?" This is basically what happened. He's on the cross. You saw him take his last breath. Now Jesus' greetings is basically, "Hey." Greetings is basically, "How you doing?" Greetings is basically, "What's up?" Greetings is basically, "I ain't seen you in a while." That's what greetings is. "I ain't seen you since the last time I seen you." But the last time I saw you, you were up there on the cross and you took your last breath. So of course I'm gonna be a little startled. Amen? Imagine going to a funeral last year and the last time I saw you, you were in the casket, and now you come to me and say, hey, you're gonna be like, I'm glad to see you, ish. Jesus met them with greetings and he said, hey. They came to him. Of course, they were happy to see him because they collapsed his feet. They grabbed his feet and worshiped him. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when Jesus comes into your presence. Then Jesus said to them, of course, do not be afraid for everything because of everything I just said. The last time I saw you, it was a different story. And you're here. I don't know how to feel. Everybody say, I don't know how to feel. I don't quite know how to feel. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will again see me. Everybody say, see. I see the word see. I see the word see. Y'all get that? I see the word see in this passage quite a few times. If you don't see the word see, you will see the word behold. Everybody say see. Today I want to talk about, if you want to write it down or screenshot it, I know what I saw. I know what I heard. I know what I felt. Everybody say, I know what I see. I know what I saw. I know what I heard, because what you heard has a sound. So see, I know what I've seen. I've seen it. There's a sound that came with it. And then there was a sensation. Everybody say, I know what I felt. Everybody say, I know what I saw. I know what I saw. Think about this passage. Go back to this. The guards were so afraid. Think about the sounds of this. This was basically right after an earthquake. An earthquake was right before this passage. Everybody say, I know what I heard. Everybody say, I know what I saw. Think about the sounds. Think about the sights. Think about the sensation. If we think this Bible that we read is emotional, what's the word? Emotionalist, if that's a word. If you think this has no reality, no emotions, no feeling, we're mistaken. This is very much real. Amen. Those of us watching online, I may put it to the phone. This has feeling. This has emotion. This has sensation. Amen. This is dramatic. You can't forget dramatic stuff. See it as dramatic. 1:8 is also dramatic. I mean, this is dramatic. I see it as dramatic, and it's encouraging. They were afraid, yet filled with joy. Turn to Acts 1 for me. Acts 1. I know what I heard, I know what I saw, and I know what I felt. Acts 1 reads, ready, set, go. But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Be my witness of what? What are you going to run and tell? You ought to run and tell that you ought to. That's not even how it goes. That's why. What are you going to be my? What are you even going to tell? First of all, we know what we're going to tell. Jesus has he's come to earth. He lived. He was crucified. He was, I want to say buried, but Jesus had, you should write this down. Jesus did not have dirt placed on him. I know what we do in America, and we take the shovel and we put dirt on people. That didn't happen to Jesus. Jesus was placed in a what? He was placed in the tomb. Now, Jesus didn't have dirt physically placed on him, but he actually did have dirt placed on him. Look at somebody saying, that was my dirt. Ouch. Look at somebody say, that was my dirt. Everybody say, my dirt was placed on him. So we got to be a witness of Jesus dying on the cross for us. Very simple message. Matthew 28, very simple. The end of Matthew 28, make disciples, tell them about the good news, tell them about the gospel, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. But Jerusalem, be my witness in where? Number one, be my witness in where? Jerusalem. Write down Jerusalem. That represents home. First of all, let's do a check. Let's do a witness check. Is everybody in your home saved? Sanctified? You thought I was going to stop there. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Number two, Let's do a witness check. Is everybody on your street saved? When was the last time you prayed for your neighborhood? When was the last time you prayed for the neighborhood behind your house? You say, I don't have a neighborhood. Well, they're putting up neighborhoods everywhere behind where I'm living. It's just everywhere. Be my witness at the house to people that don't look like me. A different race, a different belief. Samaria. Why do you think it was so much controversy around Jesus talking to the woman at the well? If I'm not mistaken, she was a what? She was a Samaria. People that don't look like you, people that you wouldn't normally rock with. Be my witness. Who's going to take a risk and talk to somebody that you normally wouldn't talk to? Democrats in the house, who's going to talk to Republicans? Republicans in the house, who's going to talk to Democrats? I heard somebody in your spirit say, it better not be no Republicans in here. I'm talking to the people online. African Americans, when the last time you talked to a Caucasian, to a Christians, when was the last time you talked to somebody that's into a Buddhist, Hindu, a Muslim? Be my witness at the house, be my witness on your street, be my witness to somebody that don't look, think, believe like you, have the same orientation as you. I don't agree with you, but I'm going to be a witness to you. Come on, everybody say, I don't agree with you, but I'm a witness to you. After this charge, after this, you know this is a charge, right? This is an admonish, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. Y'all don't play with me this morning. It's Resurrection Sunday. I may quote every hymn in the book. Your hymn I have hidden in my heart. All right, that's not in the Bible. And when he said these things, this is a charge. As they were looking on, he was lifted up. My goodness. Jesus lifted up. Not on a spaceship, not on Air Force One. He was lifted up on a Holy Ghost kingdom cloud that took him out of their sight. This is dramatic. Ooh, this is dramatic to me. I will never forget this. Everybody say, I know what I saw. I know what I heard. And I know what I felt. Jesus being lifted up on the cloud? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm never going to forget this. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, if it wasn't for this scripture, let me read it. And if Christ has not been raised, what are we here for? Alpheus, why are you even here for? Why did you put on a tie today? Why did you put on a tie? If Christ had not been raised, then our preaching, why do we come to the house of Judah? Why do we get up out of the bed? Why are we even going to be a witness? Why are we going to be motivated to testify? And if Christ, look at somebody and say, Christ is our content. Look at somebody else and say, Christ is our conviction. And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. This is in vain if Christ had not been raised. But let somebody say, I know what I saw. I know what I heard. I know what I felt. Something happened. Listen to me. Something happened. In my childhood, I remember only certain things. Now, I just happen to know, because I was with you at the ice cream place, Mon Veda, that you actually have a sharp mind. Because I witnessed somebody that you haven't seen in like maybe 30 years. I was going to say 40, but you're not that old. But I saw you, she come up to you and say, hey, you probably don't remember my name. And you say, yeah, you ba-da-da-da-da. I can't remember the name. I don't even remember the name. But you remember the name after 40 years. Well, you're not that old. And she was like, you remember my name after all these years. I don't know what happened for you to remember her name, but something happened. Why are we celebrating today? An impact event. Everybody say impact event. So imagine if Mon Veda was alive during the crucifixion, That thing will live on to, of course it will live on to this day. If you remember that lady's name, after 40 years, you're not that old. Surely 500 plus people, surely a Mom Veda will remember something like a crucifixion. Because it is defined as an impact event. Everybody say impact event. Something that has impacted your life so much you will never forget. You forget everything else, Alfie. I mean, so much. My mama said, you don't remember this? I said, I don't remember this. You remember that? No, I don't remember that. But I remember November 18, 2012. Do you remember where you were November the 18, 2012? You don't remember. I remember. That was the day my twin brother left this earth. I remember because it's an impact event. Anybody remember where you were September the 11th, 2001? Raise your hand if you remember where you were. If what happened between November the 18th, 2012 and September the 11th, 2001? You don't. So why does everybody in this room in concert remember 2001? September the 11th, 2001. Yeah, it was an impact event. November the 22nd, 1963, before I was born. Anybody remember that? Who remember that? What happened in November the 22nd, 1963? Kennedy was killed April 4th, 1968. What happened on April 4th, 1968? MLK was murdered. What happened in April the 8th, 2006? Do you remember what happened April 8th, 2006? Probably only one person in this room. What happened April the 8th, 2006? Scream it out. Yep, I hate to make you scream it out, but she's in a better place. Amen. My wife's grandmother passed away. January the 6th, 2024. I ain't trying to take you out of worship, but what happened on January the 6th, 2024? Everybody's talking about it. Look at somebody say, everybody's talking about it. Look at somebody say, everybody's talking about it. Acts 1, you will receive the Holy Ghost. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witness. To be my witness of what? Something that everybody's talking about. Somebody say, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it because it's an impact event. But that impact, that what everybody's talking about, we're going to need the Holy Spirit to give us power in 2026, 27, 28, 29. I made some declarations this year that I think we need to make sure we archive because I feel like I spoke prophetically. And this is one of those prophetic words from the Word of God. We're going to need the Holy Ghost and we're going to need His power to be a witness at the house, on our street, and globally. Because in a day like today, you are risking not looking cool, but looking crazy to testify about what God has done for you. I'm not talking about the crucifixion, but you just simply giving credit to God for what He's done for you. And seem like I'm 44, been saved a long time. And again, seem like every time I come up here, I'm confessing to you guys how my walk with God has just increased, or what I've not been doing. I have mentors now. I have people that are speaking into my life and saying, you're not as smart as you think you are. Amen. You're not as strong in your faith as you think you are. Amen. And so look at somebody and say, there's safety in the multitude of counsel. It's good to have counsel. Amen. And so these days I'm literally giving God the credit for everything. I have an idea. God gave me that idea. Sometimes I'll say, yeah, I came up with that idea. Lies you tell, Alpheus. I didn't come up with that idea. Amen. Man, I did this. I constructed this. I did this. I made it happen. No, God didn't make it happen. Even something as simple as giving God the credit for everything. You're going to look crazy. You're going to be like, no, you didn't do, no, God didn't do that. You did it. No, God did that. Look at somebody and say, God did it. I feel like singing that other song. I can't remember who wrote it. Everything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Yeah, yes, sir. Look at somebody and say, God did it. Many think the resurrection was made up and that it was a conspiracy. You know, they think it was a conspiracy, what we are celebrating today. If it was a conspiracy, it was a mighty, mighty perfect conspiracy. Because there's a lot that has to go right for this conspiracy, a conspiracy like this, to be as impactful. I mean, if it's a lie, it's a really, really, it's not a lie. I don't even want to give it credit. Everybody say, it's not a lie. Because I know what I saw. Everybody say, I know what I saw. This is what we're talking about today, by the way, friends. I know what I saw, I know what I heard, and I know what I felt. No other major religion claims the resurrection of its founder. I'm going to say it again. No other claims the resurrection of its founder. So there is a difference. Because the Christian God is spaceless, timeless, immaterial. He's awesome. He is powerful. He's holy. The worship leader just sung about it this morning. Everybody say, he's holy. Somebody say, he's holy. Holy means he's not just better than us. He is better than Alpheus. Make no mistake. He is better than Alpheus, but he's not just better than me. He is other than me. He is other than me. Amen. He's other than me. So if it's true, somebody is that powerful, they created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that? In Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. So if he did that, then raising Jesus from the dead is lightweight. Make sense? If he can create something out of nothing, the first five words, first six, seven, eight, nine, 10 words, in the beginning, God created something out of nothing. If he can do that, I mean, raising Jesus from the dead is like, write this down, Genesis before Golgotha. In other words, that's why the enemy is trying to get our little cousins, our grandkids, kids to disbelieve Genesis 1. Why? Because if I can get you to doubt Genesis 1, if I can get you to doubt the creation and God getting credit for the creation, I can get you to doubt the cross. Make sense? If I can get you to doubt Genesis, I can get you to doubt Golgotha. Look at somebody and say, something happened. I promise you guys I wouldn't keep you for 3 weeks, so I'm almost finished. Y'all okay? Amen. I really am almost finished. Something happened. Jesus appeared to 500 plus Veda Wallis. I don't know why I'm picking on you this morning. Please don't throw tomatoes at me. He appeared to 500 plus Veda Wallis. More than 500 witnesses. In 1 Corinthians 15, 6. So Jesus, I just saw you in the casket. And now, days later, you're revealing yourself to us. I know we just saw you on the cross. I know we just saw you on the cross. Look at somebody say, I know what I heard. I know what I saw. I know what I felt. People were crying. My God, I'm about to cry if I keep. There was blood coming out of your hands. There was a crown of thorns on your head. They had the audacity to put nails in your feet like you could get off the, like they just really tried to make a believer out of you. And I just hear sidebar. I just hear Jesus saying, you know, they was trying to make a believer out of me, but I really, what I did made a believer out of them. Clap your hands. Jesus. I'm about to run to Atlanta to brunch. 500 plus people saw something. They saw it. Could they keep it quiet? No, because they remember what they saw, what they heard, because that was an impact event. Even Christians, I don't know who's the most popular social media influence, but I would imagine in the Bible days, Josephus Flavius was like an influencer. He was basically a secular historian of that day. Basically, he didn't have a dog in the fight. He was basically recording folks like, write this down, Josephus and Thomas Arnold of that day reported the resurrection. It was so impactful, they reported it. They reported it. They don't have a dog in the fight. They just reporting the facts. I mean, we should pray more for the news analysts that will fly over to the Middle East just to report to us the what? Report to us the what? They are risking their lives to report to us what? The facts, the war, and what went on. I don't even know why they would do that. I mean, put on a bulletproof vest just to get me the facts? Thank God for you. Thank God for Josephus and Thomas Arnold that have left breadcrumbs and evidence that something happened. They didn't have a dog in the fight. They took pride. Don't go to sleep on this. I got to talk about these guys because we got to be strong in our faith. Amen? They took pride in accuracy and credibility. This thing was so supernatural, they had to write about it. Look at somebody say, I know what I heard. I know what I saw. How can you not write about something so gruesome, so daunting, so bad? It was so bad. Look at somebody say, I won't forget. How can I forget what you I'm singing this morning. I don't, who prayed? Well, somebody wanted me to sing this morning. I ain't even got no org. How can I set me free? Thank you for clapping. How can I forget how you brought me out? And how can I forget? No, never. That's more than just a song. That is history being passed down throughout the ages. That we're singing that, but imagine the 500 plus that Jesus revealed himself to. How can I forget, lest I forget, Gethsemane. Don't play with me this morning. Y'all don't know these songs. Lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Y'all know the tune, but do y'all know the song? Lead me to Calvary. Sing it. Lead me to Calvary. Come on, last time. Lead me to Calvary. That's what you get for getting a choir director to speak to you this morning. What we believe, I'm almost finished. What we believe, others belittle. What we celebrate, others condemn. What we worship, others warn against. What we know as fact, they say is fiction. What we know as conviction, others confront. What we deify, others demonize. The discrepancies that they think that's in the Bible is not discrepancies, but they will try to make the discrepancies distractions. The problems don't cancel the promise. Of course the people in the Bible have problems. Look at somebody and say, of course. Of course. That's how we know it's true. Why would we write about in Jesus' bloodline, there's a prostitute in Jesus' bloodline. If you trace his bloodline, there are liars in Jesus' bloodline. Why would you write embarrassing things in the Gospels like it was the women that discovered Jesus first, and the men did what? They sounded like Prince with their high voice and ran away scared, afraid. Oh my gosh, I don't wanna. Why would you write that embarrassing fact in the Bible? Why would you incriminate yourself? What do you have to gain for doing Acts 1? What do you have to gain to be a witness? None of the disciples were famous, what's the word I'm looking for? None of the disciples were, what's the word I'm looking for? They died a brutal death. They didn't get invited to Oprah show for what they believed and what they did. They did not get invited to the Jennifer Hudson show. They never had the privilege to be in the hallway before they got on Jennifer Hutchins' show where the workers were saying, come on, go Peter, what you saw, come tell us, go Peter, y'all, go Peter. Seemed like everybody before they go on her show to get the privilege to get like a welcome song. Peter never got the welcome song. Peter, what did you see? It's not made up. It's true. What they did not gain power. They were not popular with the women. They didn't get a raise. Paul was scraping up money, embarrassed to ask for money to testify about Jesus. You know, I need your money, but I don't need your money, but you need to give to me because I'm doing the work of the Lord. They didn't gain anything, but on this life, persecution, trials, tribulations, it welcomes. Listen to me. This welcomes a target on your back. Look at somebody say, I still know what I saw. I know what I heard. And I know what I felt. Who's going to take that to the grave? Who's going to take what God has done for you to the grave? It's made up, man. Y'all are crazy. Frank says, it is not our job to refute what they say. It's their job to support what they say. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give a defense to anyone who accuses you, who asks you, who interrogates you, who puts a comment on your page about the hope is in you. God did it. Then they're going to say, no, God didn't do it. What you going to say? You're going to say 1 Peter 3:15. Yeah, you know what? Not only am I going to give God the credit, I'm going to give you details on how God did it. Look at somebody say, details. Be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, the hope that is in you, yet do it with what? With all due respect, sir, I'm just telling you what I know. I'm just telling you what I saw, and I'm just telling you what I know. And what I know is, at the end of the month, I didn't have it. And at the end of the month, I had it. Has that been anybody's testimony in this room? Amen. Amen. At the end of the month, I didn't have it. And at the y'all don't hear what I say. And at the end of the month, I had it. And all I am here to tell you, sir, no, that don't make sense. What are you talking about? Yeah, what you just said don't make sense. I know, sir, that statement doesn't make sense. But I'm just telling you, I didn't have it, and then I end up with it. Amen? There will be a time where what you believe in this room, and I know that right now it's not shouting. We're going to shout before we leave, I think, in about 2 minutes. But what I'm saying now, it may not be shouting good time. It may not feel good, but there will be a time where what you believe and what you feel and what you know will be under scrutiny. It will be interrogated. It will be challenged. It will be questioned. Amen? Amen. Ask Peter. They came to Peter after they took Jesus away. They took Jesus away and they forcefully. Everybody say forcefully. That's what I'm saying. Like this Bible, there are emotions in this. Like when we read this, maybe because I'm ADD, ADHD, I'm a musician, producer, songwriter. When I read this Bible, it is so loud in my ears. It is so loud because I hear the environment. I see it. I hear it. Peter saw that in the commotion, and you're talking about injustice. Imagine them taking Jesus and putting their knee on his neck. I say, just imagine. Imagine them taking Jesus, and they're supposed to take him a certain way, and they accidentally push him down. And you, Peter, one of his boys, see that. You see them taking Jesus. You see people cussing at Jesus. Your boy, the Savior of the world. You spent time with Jesus. You and Jesus had a good time eating fish. Because if you were going to rock with Jesus, you know you were going to get a good meal. You were not going to be hungry. At least you was going to get fried fish. But just imagine Peter seeing this, his boy, being taken away. Imagine being discipled by Jesus. Peter being discipled by Jesus. Now he starts to look like Jesus. He starts to walk like Jesus in every way because he picks up his mannerisms. He picks up his likes and what he desires and what he wants. Peter is close to Jesus. I'm close to some of you guys in this room because I spend time with you. I spend a lot of time with you. Imagine, my God from Zion, imagine being so close to you and somebody to come in and come in and lock you up. Me and Lex, she sound more like me than me sounding like her. She starts to sound, she said stuff that I say, she say now. I said, now wait a minute. I say that. You beat me to it. We sneezed at the same time the other week. No. I said the same time. Me and Lex, I didn't know she sneezed. She didn't know I sneezed until the aftermath. We said, did you just at the same time? We start to look. Imagine, listen, I'm going to be very sensitive. We just like each other. It's just how it is in marriage. That on one accord. We're not a perfect marriage, but we hand sanitizer marriage. as it relates to our walk, but we're perfect in marriage. I'm just going deeper and deeper trying to explain this. We're perfect for each other, but we're not a perfect marriage. Sneezed at the same time. Peter's looking like Jesus. When they came to Jesus, Peter, excuse me. They said, you know what? We got Jesus. He had a lot of boys with him. Matthew 26 says, this is Peter being accused. Surely you are one of them because you sound like him. You sound like him. Luke 22:59 says, certainly Peter, this man, also was with him. You sound like him. You look like him. For he too is a Galilean. I know. You can't even hide it. Look at somebody say, you can't hide Jesus. You can't even hide it. Every time you go in the bank, you people code switch around you. It happens to me all the time with my students. Are we streaming? I could be walking. I heard them hear them hopping across campus. Beep, beep. And I come up, hey, praise the Lord, Mr. Alphaeus. Man, I heard you. I heard you. What's up, man? What you just say? John 18:26, you can't hide Jesus. Did I not see you in the garden with him? I recognize you. You were with Jesus. And guess what Jesus did? Peter did. Excuse me. Guess what Peter did? He took off his clothes. He didn't want to be recognized. Symbolic of he said, nah, that ain't me. You see how I said that? Nah, that ain't me. Jesus don't talk like that. Nah, that ain't me. I don't sound like Jesus. Jesus don't talk like, nah, that ain't me, bro. No, I don't hang out with Jesus, man. I beep, beep. Because Jesus don't cuss, right? Beep. Jesus ain't violent. MLK is like Jesus. Jesus is not like MLK. The peaceful march and the walking. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. To be Christ-like is what we did in the 60s and the 70s. We marched and they hit us. We turned the other cheek. Amen. That's why God has been good to us. We are Christ-like. Look at somebody say, you can't hide Jesus. You cannot hide Jesus. And it still should be true to the day. I know God has delivered us and we have freedom and we have rights. But when they do something bad to you, the word is the word. We still should turn the what? Other cheek. In 2026, I'm almost finished. Let's not hide our faith. You know what God did for you. Look at somebody say, testify. Look at somebody say, I know what I heard. I know what I saw. I know what I felt. I know what I heard. I know what I saw. I know what I felt. The enemy don't want you to talk like that. He want us to be quiet on our in our schools. Listen to me. I beg of us, when God blesses us and he give us a promotion, he gives us and he heals us, that we're not quiet about it. Amen? Amen. Revelations 12, 11 says, and they have conquered him. Conquered who? Conquered him. This is, by the way, this is Revelations. So you know who is lifted in Revelations. Somebody that we don't want to face. Who's in Revelations that's getting a little airtime? Who's getting airtime in Revelation? These beasts, a pit, fire. He's Satan. Amen. He's only, to me, he's only lifted in Revelation to show us the bigger you are, the harder you fall. Man, I'm about to run to Atlanta. I said, the bigger you are, the what? He's only lifted in Revelations to encourage us that we win. We overcame him. The person that's lifted up in Revelation a little bit more than we normally see, describing what he's going to do and what he's allowed to do in Revelation. All right? But we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of who? Of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. If you love your life, you will lose it. If you hate your life, you will gain it. I'm finished. Look at somebody say, I know what I heard. I know what I saw. I know what I felt. If you enjoyed this teaching, clap your hands.